Well, again, good morning. It is great to see you and to be here and worship with you. Today we're beginning a new sermon series called Unshakable Kingdom. Now that term, the kingdom of God, is often heard in church. Yet I don't think we have a full grasp, a full understanding of what it means to be a part of or to be called to the kingdom of God. You know, how does it function and what is our role in it? And over the next handful of weeks, we're going to be talking about the kingdom of God. Now, this confusion that we experience about the kingdom isn't anything new. You know, in Jesus' day, the Romans thought of what kingdom meant was that they looked to Caesar and they demanded allegiance. That was the kingdom that they understood. To the Pharisees, when they thought of kingdom, they looked to the law and they saw the kingdom being compliance. That if you wanted to be a part of the kingdom of God, you had to be compliant. The crowds of Jesus' day, when they thought of kingdom, they only saw their occupiers. And so when they thought of kingdom, they demanded action. Something had to be done to get rid of these awful, awful Romans. When the zealots thought of kingdom, they looked at Israel's past, and kingdom of God meant to them violence, that they were going to bring about change through violence. And today, I think we often, when we think about kingdom, we think about our kingdoms and we think about our agendas, and we demand that people think the same way that we do. I think sometimes people develop this mistaken notion of the Christian faith. They think about the kingdom of God as something that only exists in the future. That when we talk about the kingdom of God, we are simply talking about getting to heaven. But when we think of the kingdom of God in that way, we miss an important part of what it means to trust Christ. That when you come to faith in Christ, when you trust him to rescue you from your sin and your brokenness, you step into a journey and begin a journey within the kingdom of God right here and right now. And the truth is, the kingdom of God isn't something that we wield or manipulate. It's something that it exists right now, and we are invited to participate in it. That when you come to faith in Christ, when you trust him, you begin that journey. Now, before I read our scripture this morning, I want to point out that the scripture that we'll be using today, talking about the kingdom of God, is found in Matthew. Now, Matthew will use the term kingdom of heaven. And it may sound different, but it means the same exact thing. Matthew is writing to a Jewish audience. And for a Jew to mention God's name you couldn't do that. And so Matthew uses the kingdom of heaven for his Jewish readers. The other gospel writers use the kingdom of God because they're not writing primarily to Jews. Now, the kingdom of God refers to this divine turning point in history that begins with the coming of Christ. It's the time when God came close and gave us the opportunity to be a part of his family. And we become a part of this kingdom when we voluntarily accept the role of God in our lives and receive the forgiveness and new life offered to us through his son, Jesus Christ. And when we do this, we break the power of Satan in our lives and we begin to serve under a new king. And we move from the kingdom of the world to the kingdom of God. Jesus demonstrates this kingdom when he healed the blind and the lame and the deaf, and he set the prisoners free from possession of the devil. Jesus showed the kingdom of God by proclaiming hope to the poor, by giving comfort to the grieving, forgiveness for the broken, which really is all of us. God's kingdom is about making all things new and restoring his world to its intended condition. The kingdom of God, theologically, is said to be here, but not yet fully here. It's a way of us trying to say that the kingdom will be in full bloom when Christ returns and takes his place as the righteous Lord of all creation. You know, as we read in the parables that precede our scripture this morning, the kingdom has already been planted and has begun to grow. It may not seem very big right at this moment, but it will grow into something bigger. It becomes dominant and overwhelming. You know, what it is that Jesus is trying to teach us about the kingdom is that both people in the scripture today see treasure as being the most valuable thing they could ever obtain. And they pursue it with all the energy and resources that they have. And let's read our scripture this morning from Matthew chapter 13. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had, and he bought that field. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls, and when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had, and he bought it. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So there are two people, and one of them stumbles upon the treasure, and the other one seems to be searching for it. And it's revealed that some find the grace of God by surprise. They're going along the pathways of life, content in their perceived goodness, and then one day they hear and they understand the gospel message. And all of a sudden their lives, the lives turn around, and it's in this realization, it's in this moment of realization that they see the beauty of the gospel, and that they know that this is something that they need. It is something they realize that they were looking for their entire lives. They just didn't know it yet. The other person is searching. Perhaps they knew that there was a hole in their life, that something was missing. They examined other religions. They listened to the mystics. They tried all kinds of things and ended up empty. And then one day they heard and they understood the message of the gospel, that we are all made new in Christ. Not because we are good, but because God provides that for us. And such thinking will always leave us wondering if we've done enough. You know, God came to us knowing that we are a mess. And he loves us even though we have sin in our lives. We have the decay, the stink of sin and this brokenness. And then when we find God's grace, it's like a light goes on and we understand it. God accepts me and loves me the way that he found me. And that they see that this is what they need and what they have been looking for their entire lives. And you can kind of think about it like love, that one person is not looking for love, and it sneaks up on them. They're surprised by love. And someone else was looking for it. And when they find that person, they're elated. They come to love in different ways, but both recognize that this love was worth securing and guarding. That true love ought not to be squandered. You know, the point of the parable that Jesus is sharing, and Matthew 13 is a part of a number of parables about what the kingdom of God is like, but that the kingdom of heaven should have a greater value of even that of family and freedom. Church, the kingdom is for what we were created for. The kingdom of God, us participating in the kingdom of God, brings meaning and purpose in our lives here and now, and the eternal ones into heaven. And we should be willing to sacrifice whatever it takes to be a part of this kingdom. And we spend a great deal of time weighing the value of things, and we often will make decisions in our lives based upon what we deem is most valuable. Is the work that we're doing of more value than family time? Are team obligations more important than church activities? Is a new car, a new home, a new whatever as valuable as the price tag that it carries? Are politics of enough value that we discard friendships with people we disagree with? Is being right more important than being kind? Is a college education at a prestigious university worth it if it leaves us in massive debt? You know, according to the rabbis, the law of the rabbis, if a worker found buried treasure, and it sounds odd to us, it almost sounds like an episode of Gilligan's Island or something like that, but it wasn't that uncommon in the time that the scriptures were being written because of all the different battles that were being fought in that area. So if you found treasure on land, it belonged to the person who owned the land. And so what Jesus is saying, if the laborer is wise, they do not lift the treasure out for everybody to see, for anybody else to claim. Instead, he goes and he sells all that he has and he buys that tract of land so that that treasure would be legally his. And Jesus is clearly saying, those who understand the value of the kingdom will endure anything and at any cost to obtain this kingdom. The value of the kingdom of God is not in the good feeling that it brings to us. It is the way that it brings us to the very throne of God. And the point Jesus is making is that the kingdom of God is of the highest value, that when we find the kingdom, we should recognize that nothing is more important than being right with God. This is the linchpin to everything else in life. Yeah, I think we can gather a couple of conclusions from our scripture this morning. The first one is this, that we should see the kingdom of God as the treasure that it is. Instead of seeing our Christian commitment as simply another obligation, we need to see it as it is. It is a tremendous privilege and a gift. You know, despite our sinful rebellion, we have been loved by God. We have been forgiven by grace. We have been inhabited by the Holy Spirit. We have been granted a new life that will have no end. Church, there is nothing in this world that can come even a whisper close to the treasure that is the kingdom of God. I think Jesus is pleading with people to not settle for merely being religious. He's calling us to count the cost and decide that the kingdom of God is worth it. That the kingdom of God is worth the sacrifice. The kingdom of God calls us to reallocate our energy and to realign our priorities. We are called to embrace a genuine and life-changing relationship with God and to not settle for the counterfeit to this relationship produced by our own efforts, our gimmicks, and our programs. Living in the kingdom of God is trusting God's wisdom and character as he leads us in our lives. Secondly, that we should confidently and boldly and urgently proclaim the kingdom to everyone who will listen. We need to attack the notion that the kingdom of God is merely where we go when we die. It is our duty to urge people to see the blessing of living in the kingdom of God right here and right now. It's our job to describe this treasure of being connected with Jesus and invite others to discover the beauty of this treasure for themselves. And Jesus showed us that the most important decision we will ever make is the decision whether we will be a part of the kingdom of God or whether we will remain outside of that kingdom. And we need to decide between God's kingdom and our kingdoms. We need to decide between the river of life and the lake of fire. The kingdom of God or the gods of our imagination, life or death. You know, the kingdom of God is like a treasure, like a pearl, like a mustard seed, like a seed sown into the earth. Recognize that the kingdom of God is here, and that you are being invited to live into that kingdom, and to live for that kingdom, and to proclaim that kingdom. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we are grateful for your love and your grace towards us. Thank you for inviting us to be a part of something, dear God, that is so much greater than ourselves, so much greater than words could even describe. Help us to see, dear Jesus, this kingdom that you are calling us to. Help us to see this kingdom as being worth giving all that we have, all that we possess, so that we can hold and behold and proclaim the kingdom of God. Jesus, we pray this in your precious name. You know, that's the thing with a kingdom, is that there is a king. And I think one of the biggest hurdles we have to get over is that it is not us. We are not the king of the kingdom. If we make ourselves the king, then we are the ones who have to pay the price. Or we can accept the invitation to be a part of the kingdom of God, where our Savior pays the price of our entry. Or our Savior leads us into the battlefield, into the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And choose to live in the kingdom of God. Choose to live for Jesus. Gracious Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity for us to sing, to hear your word, to receive communion. We pray, O God, that as we leave this place, we would be like the kingdom scattered into the world, and that when people would encounter us, that they would encounter you, that they would hear you in our speech, they would see you in our actions. Lord, that they would be drawn to you, because you are life. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen.